All right, to both say good morning, Episkatava, good vittel to everyone. So we're beginning today, first of all, Yeshkoach to Yehuda for giving the daf yesterday. We're going to pick up Emirat Hashem on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, 27a, the Mishnah. Af hasim lahaisa b'chlal kol elu. So remember again, the also a thank you to the Newburgers for sponsoring the breakfast this morning in honor of... In honor of the Shloshim for Sayyid's father, Moshe ben Bashi HaKoin, we hope that in the merit of the brachas, of the learning, of the chevra shap, that the neshama should have an aliyah, and that the Neuberger mishpacha should be gebenched with beautiful bracha, beautiful mazel, beautiful hatzlacha in the year to come. So says the Mishnah, Af ha-simla ha-isa bechlal kol elu. So remember again, the Gemara talks about the idea that simla. Now the pasuk that the Gemara is talking about over here is v'chein sa'asa, thank you so much. V'chein sa'asa l'chamoro, v'chein sa'asa l'simla. So v'chein sa'asa l'chala v'idas achicha. So the Torah says, this is what you shall do for your friend's donkey, for his simla, for his garment, and for every object that your friend lost, umitzasa, and if you find it, lo sucha l'hisalem, you can't shield yourself, rather you have to return it. So the obvious kasha becomes, why does the Torah have, we're going to discuss it in more greater depth in the Gemara, but why does the Torah have to mention all of these items specifically? So the Mishnah says, Afa simla haisa bichlal kol elu. So simla, garment, was included in the general principle, in the general statement of l'chala v'idas achicha, all that your brother has lost. So why, v'lami yatsasa, why was it specifically mentioned? L'hakishela. In order to go ahead and compare the other items mentioned in the pasuk to the simla. How so? L'omar l'chal mas simla meyuchad eshesh basimal v'yishla tovlin. So teach you that just as the simla, just as the garment, has simanim, and as the assumption always is that every garment, you know, we'll say, remember, as I mentioned before with Kalim, so remember, these, the Mishnah's in the days before mass production, which means that just like every single kli looked different, so every single simla, every single article of clothing also looked different. So just like a simla, a garment is something that has simanim, v'yesh latovin, and it has people, it has an owner who is going to go ahead and request it. Af kol dover sheyesh bo simanim v'yesh latovim chayiv l'hachris. So to any item that has a simin, and any item that has tovin, that people who are going to go ahead and claim it, you chayiv l'hachris. So we'll say, therefore, simla creates the paradigm for Aveda. In order to be chayv, to be machriz, in order to be chayv to go ahead and announce an Aveda, it has to be something that has A, simanim, and B, something that if someone lost it, they would want it back. Now we'll discuss what exactly that comes to exclude. Says the Gemara, my bichlal kol elu. What does it mean that simla was included in the general klal of all these things? What things are you talking about? Amurava bichlal kol aveda sachicha. It's in the klal of the general pasuk of kol aveda sachicha. Anything that your brother lost. In other words, remember the pasuk itself says kol aveda sachicha. Anything your brother lost, and yet then the Torah also says chamoro simlaso. So what the Mishnah is based on the idea is, why does the Torah have to go ahead and say simla after you've already said kol aveda sachicha? So Amar Rav Lamli dikas rachman ashar chamor sev simla. So why does the Torah have to, after it says you have to return any lost object to your brother, why does the Torah have to specify shar ox, chamor donkey, se sheep, and simla garment? To which the Gemara says, Srichi, you need them all, and I'll tell you why. Because of Rachmana Simla, because if the Torah would have just said Simla garment, Hava Amina, Hanimili Be'edim Degufa, Visimunim Degufa. So I would have thought, had the Torah just said Simla, I would have thought that, what does Simla mean? You have to return an object when you have Eidos. When you have Eidos, right? When you have testimony. When you have testimony about the actual guf of the object, testimony about the Simanim, and Simanim de Gufo, or for that matter, Simanim ultimately, again, in the guf of the object itself. Avachamor be'edim du'ukov. V'simanim du'ukov emolo. So I would have thought, but a chamor, you see, if it would have just said Simla, I would have thought that simla means the following. You need simanim in the actual guf, in the actual physical, we'll call it the body of the item. But let's say, for example, I lose a donkey. And the simin I have, is the saddle that's on the donkey. I carved my initials into the saddle. So that's not a simin in the guf of the donkey. That's a simon in the saddle. So if it would have just said simla, I would have thought the only type of simonim that could earn me my item back is a simon in the actual item itself. But a simon, let's say, for example, on the saddle and donkey wouldn't be enough. So therefore, the Gemara says, Therefore, the Torah goes out of its way to say chamor. What does chamor teach us? The chamor comes to teach us that you even for something like a donkey or anything that is donkey-like, it's not only a donkey, but anything that is donkey-like, the halacha is that even if the simen is not in the goof of the item itself, but the simen is what? The simen is lamaisa again on something that is attached to the item. That's also a proper simen. So the Gemara says the following: Shar v'sat chaz rachman alamuli. Why did Torah have to state shar and sa? Shar daf yilu legizas znavo v'sa legizosav. The teacher both said this is something quite amazing. If I lose my shar, and the person who was holding onto the shar happened to take the hair from the tail of my ox, he's obligated not only to go ahead and give me back my ox, but he's also obligated to what? To compensate me for the sear's navo, for the hair of the tail. Hair of the tail. Similarly, if somebody found my sheep, and they sheared my sheep, that's the right English. They sheared my sheep. Yeah, they sheared my sheep. Right? They sheared my sheep while they were holding on to it. They're obligated not just to give me back the sheep, but also to give me back the shearings. To which the Gemara said, one second. All I need is for the Torah to teach me that if you have to give back the tail hair of the ox, if you take that, all the more so what? We know for sure that you have to give back the shearings of the sheep. Why the need to state both? Elo amarava chamor debar l'Rabbi Yehuda v'sed da'aveda divrei kol kasher. Well, the Rava says the following. Rava says that chamor of bar, according to Rabbi Yehuda, so we'll say, what's chamor of bar, Rabbi Yehuda? Take a look at Rashi. Chamor debar l'Rabbi Yehuda demechayiv al niske kelen debar v'kashilon l'may asa de'ilu l'rabbanon mibar le'shar v'lo adam chamor v'lo kelen. So we'll say, the Torah says by bar, by a pit that does damage, shar. So the Tanakhama, the Rabbanon hold that the Torah says shar by bar to teach you that you're only chayiv if your bar damages animals. But if your bar damages people, you are not chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're even chayiv for bar for people. If that's the case, then what does shar come to teach us according to Rabbi Yehuda? It's a kasha. It's kasher. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have a good explanation for what we learn from bar. Furthermore, v'sed da'aveda divrei kol kasher. We'll say, furthermore, sed da'aveda, which is set in this pasuk of a lost object, l'divrei kol, we're not sure what to do with it. So we'll say, the Gemara is just pointing out over here that we're not sure what to do with seh. We know what to do with simla, we know what to do with chamar, but we're not sure exactly what to do with seh. So maybe you come teach us that what? That if you go ahead and I find the lost seh, and what happens? I go ahead and I keep the manure of the animal and I use it to fertilize my field. Perhaps I'm obligated to compensate the owner of the seh for the manure that was used. To which the Gemara says, no, gilalim afkuri mafkirluhu. It's not true because in general people are mafkir manure. Right? The person doesn't expect to get that back. But Dilma Lusimanin Hudasa, perhaps again it's coming to teach me about Siman Abose. We're going to learn in just a little bit the Bailon Simanin Daraisa Drabanon. Because we'll say in just a little bit we're going to learn that there's a fundamental machlokas. Are Simanin Daraisa Drabanon, meaning the ability to identify something, give a simon and get it back, is that valid drabanan or d'oraisa? So maybe Kasav Rachmana said that filu b'simon amahadrinu like b'simon d'oraisa. Maybe the word set teaches us that we return objects with a simon and therefore simonin are d'oraisa. Amri mi diktani luhu tana l'simon and gabi simla. So the Gemara says it's not going to work. Why? Because since the Mishnah mentioned simonim by simla, diktani ma simla miyuchede shiyishba simonim v'yishba tov in chayv la'achris. Because the Rabbos say, just like when it comes to simla, the Mishnah said simla is unique because it has simonim and it has people who will claim it. Av kol davar shiyishba simonim v'yishba tov in chayv la'achris. So to any object that has simonim and has people who would claim it are chayv la'achris. Therefore, Rabbos say, you see that simonim are learned out from simla and not from seh. Therefore, shma mino, the seh lav l'simonim huda'asa. Therefore, Rabbos say, what? You see that a seh, ultimately, the word seh does not come to teach us simonim. So Rabbos say, we are actually left with the Gemara telling us that we're not sure what to do with the word seh. The word seh seems to be extraneous and unnecessary in the pasuk. Rabbos say, it's an incredible yisod. And I mentioned this before, you know, Soloveitchik points out, the Rav says, why is it that the Gemara goes ahead and sometimes ends off with teku. Right? What a strange thing. Why teku? Tishbi yitareis kushos yivayos. So the Rav said that it's important to understand that there are some questions in life that don't have answers. Man's natural predisposition is to try to understand everything. I need to understand, I need to comprehend everything that goes on. Teiku teaches us that l'maisa, some things, when Mashiach comes, and Anavi comes, we'll understand. But until that point in time, we don't understand, we won't understand, and therefore it's not our job to try to understand. Similarly over here, there are some things that happen, just like there are words in the Torah, that we don't know why they're here, I can't understand their meaning. So we'll say it's an incredible metaphor for life. There are things in life that happen, and we don't understand their meaning. We don't understand why, we don't understand the repercussions, I don't understand the cheshbonos. But it's important to understand that in life, sometimes, it's not our job to understand. We think, as human beings, our natural proclivity is to try to understand and to make sense of everything. Sometimes there are extra things in this world. There are things that just don't make sense. They just don't seem to fit in the framework. So there's an extra word, seh, we don't know what to do with it. There's a teiku, I don't know what to do with it. Because in life, as we all know, there are many events, many of them tragic, that occur for which we don't know what the answer is, what the reason is, but it's important to understand that our job is not to use our faculties or our resources to try to understand. Our job often is to try to figure out how to react. So says extra, says akasha, many kashas in life. Sometimes we don't spend our lives focusing on the terutzim to the kashas for which do not have terutzim. We figure out ultimately how to react, how to rectify, and how to do. Tan Rabbanan, asher tovad prat la'aveda she'en bo shavah prut. This was actually an interesting halacha. So the Torah says asher tovad, that the halacha is you will find something chol avedas achicha asher tovad. So the Torah is talking about if you find something that your friend lost, you have to return it. So Abose, it says that my friend lechol avedas achicha, if I find any lost object of my fellow, asher tovad, that he lost. Well, obviously, if we're talking about something, l'chol aveidas achicha, then obviously he lost it. Why is there a need for that extra phrase, that he lost? Prat la'aveida she'in bo shavah pruta. The Bosai comes to, it's actually a fascinating halacha, it comes to exclude a case of an aveida, a lost object, that is not shavah pruta. The Bosai, the halacha is, if you find something that is not a shavah pruta, there is no obligation of hashava. There is no obligation, of course, of return. So the Gemara says, Asher Tovad, Prat La'avei D'Shem O'Shava Pruta. Rabbi Huda says, Umitzasa, the Pasuk says, and you will find it, Prat La'avei D'Shem O'Shava Pruta. So Rabbi Huda learns out the same halacha, but from a different source. Umitzasa, you will find, only something that is a significant finding, are you obligated to go ahead and return. But if the object is not a significant finding, i.e. it's less than a pruta, you are not obligated to return it. So both say, so they both seem to be saying the same thing. My bad, what's the practical difference? So it could be that the simple machlokis is just in their Mesorah. We'll say, you know, that when we see these drushas in the Gemara, it's not the pshat that a Tana got up one day and said, you know what, I need like a good vart, you know, so let me darshan this pasuk this way. This is the Mesorah. So there's just two different Mesorahs, two different traditions as to which pasuk to darshan. Mar nafkali ma'asher tovad, umar nafkali mi'mitzasa. One apparently learns it out from asher tovad, and one learns it out from umatzasa. Ulamay nafkala ma'asher tovad. So the one who learns it out from asher tovad, so umatzasa. Umatzasa teaches us the Asai Liyadei Mashma. So basta, listen to this. There's a halacha, and we will see this in greater depth, that the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda only applies to a Jew. It does not apply to a non-Jew. So I would have thought that when does the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda not apply to a non-Jew? If I'm walking on the street, and I see an Aveda of a non-Jew, I don't have to go ahead and stop and pick it up. But if the object comes to my hand, maybe I am obligated to go ahead and return it. Kamashwan Umatzasa says no, that it's only the Aveda of a Jew that you are obligated to return, but the Aveda of a non-Jew you are not obligated to return. Now, we'll discuss that in greater depth, because again, there are certain things that although halachically we're not obligated to do, what we call Mishum Darkei Shalom. You know, we'll say one of the realities of living in Galus is that we have to maintain proper relations with the nation, with our host nations. So sometimes, if it becomes clear that the Jew has a dual system of behavior, one towards his fellow Jew, one towards his Gentile neighbor, as one could imagine, that arouses animosity of our host nation. Therefore, Chazal in many different places said that although the pure halacha says A, right, so we see this, the paradigmatic case of this is Shabbos. The halacha is you're permitted to be mechal Shabbos, ultimately, again, for pikuach nefesh of a Jew, but technically not of a non-Jew, but mishum darkei shalom, to preserve peace for mechal Shabbos, even for a non-Jew as well. Again, I'm simplifying much more intricate halachas, but you see this concept. So therefore, again, Umatzasa teaches me that what? Umatzasa teaches me that even if the Aveda comes to my hand, I'm not obligated to return it for a non-Jew. And the one who learns that from Umatzasa, what does he do with Asher Tovad? First wide line, Chavzayin Amadalev. How do I know? We learned this already. How do I know that if my object was washed away by a river, and someone else finds that object that they're permitted to keep it? The chiddush is, they're permitted to keep it even if, what? Do you remember this case? Even if what? Even if it has a simen, right? Even if it has a simen, they're permitted to keep it. Why? So the Gemara says, "Shneimar kein ta'ase l'chol avedas achicha asher tovad mimenu mitzasa misha avuda heimenu umitzuya etzal kol adam." We'll say, "What do we darshan? When is there mitzvah shalas aveda? When the object is lost to me, but it's accessible to someone else?" Yotza sazusha avuda heimenu ve'edim mitzuya etzal kol adam. This comes to exclude a case where the object is lost from me, but what? Also not accessible to anyone else. Not accessible to anyone. Therefore, again, the person who ultimately finds it is permitted to keep it. And the other opinion, where does he learn out the statement of Rabbi Noy? They both say that halacha lemaisa, again, even if the aveda of a Gentile actively comes to my hand, I don't have a mitzvah shavas aveda. Where does he learn that out from? Nafkale mi umitzasa. He learns that out from the extra vav. The idach, Rabbi Yochanan, minolei nafkalei, and the other opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, where does he learn that out from? So the Gemara says, mimenu. He learns that out from the extra word, mimenu. The idach, mimenu lo mashmalei. The other opinion says, we don't darshin mimenu. So the Gemara says, lo mashmalei. V'Rava Amar, so we'll say, fine. So Rava says, pruta shehuzla ike b'nai. So let's listen to this case. So here's what we've established. What we've established is that the only time there's a mitzvah shava saveda is when the object is a shava pruta. Now the machlokis we're seeing is where we learn that halacha out from. So the Tanakama said, asher tovad, that there's only a mitzvah shava saveda if you lose something of significance. What's considered to be an item of significance? Only something that has a shava pruta. Rabbi Huda says, umitzasa. When is there an obligation to do a shava saveda? Only when? When you find something of significance, i.e. shava pruta. Bose, by the way, just as an aside, I'll just let you wrap that a little bit. You'll talk about this tonight at your yomtiv table. You know where the fasting shava comes up with? What happens if something has sentimental value, right? So objectively, it's a piece of garbage, but it's been in my family for 10 generations, right? So it has, meaning when I say, nobody else is going to pay any money for it. Nobody else is going to pay any money for it. But Lamaisa, from a familial perspective, it has value. So we'll say, we'll actually talk about that. Maybe we'll talk a little bit over Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah. But not today. So it says the Gemara the following. So again, Lemaisa, everybody's in agreement that there's only a mitzvah shava saveda on an item that is a shava pruta. So listen to this. Rabbah comes along and says, I'm going to tell you the nafkamina between the Rabban and Rabbi Huda. Watch this. Pruta shehuzla ika benayu. We'll say, what happens? Listen to this case. What happens if I lost an object? When I lost it, it was a shava pruta. But then what? By the time Reuven found it, it depreciated. It depreciated, so now it's worth less than a pruta. So mandar me'asher tovad iko, umandar mitzasalek. So listen to this. Here's his fasting. What is Rava saying? The real fundamental machlokus between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda is everyone agrees that in order for there to be a mitzvah shavas aveda, the object has to be worth a pruta. What's the machlokus? The machlokes is, when do you evaluate the mitziah? See, according to the Rabbanan, remember, who learned from Asher Tovar, the valuation of the mitziah as being worth a pruta is done when? At the time that it's lost. according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's at the time that it's found. So says Rava, oh, I'm going to give you the nafkamina. The nafkamina is a case of an item that when it was lost was worth a pruta, but by the time it was found, depreciated to pachos mishava pruta. So according to the Rabbanon, you'll have to go ahead and return it. So again, so according to the Madar, the Rabbanon who learned that from Asher Tovad, it shava pruta, you have to return it. Umadar mi umatsasa leka. But according to my Madar, who learns out of Yehuda and Zephyr Umatsasa, the Shavar Pruta evaluation is done at the time when the object is found, and by the time you found it, it no longer has the Shavar Pruta. Ulamando Amar Asher Tovad, Haba Inu Umatsasa Valeka. But one second, even according to my Madar, who says it has to be with the Shavar Pruta, at the time that you lost it, he still has the word Umatsasa in his Torah as well, and therefore again, it has to be Shavar Pruta at the time you find it, and it doesn't have that. Ela Pruta, so what's what the Gemara is saying over here is, it's very nice that they have this Machlokes, but Lamaisa, even the Mando Amr who learns it out from Asher Tovad, also has to use the word Umatsasa. Just like the one who uses the word Umatsasa, has to use the word Asher Tovad. So the Ayah of the Gemara says, Ela Pruta Shehukra Ikamerai. Oh, so you know what the machlokes will say is, when he lost it, it wasn't worth the shavar pruta, but then what? But then what? It appreciated. It appreciated. So watch this. Man damar matzasa ika. So if you go up and say, if the valuation for the shavar pruta is done at the time when the object is found, then as long as it appreciated before it was found, you have to return it. However, Uman Damar Asher Tovad Leka. Rebbe said the one who says that Lamais again Asher Tovad, that it was lost, it didn't have a Shavar Pruta at the time it was lost. Uman Damar Matzasa Haba Inon Asher Tovad Veleka. Rebbe said something as he said before. Even according to the one who says that the valuation is done at the time when you find it, it still has to be worth a Shavar Pruta at the time that you lost it in order for it to generate anything of Ashavar Saveh, the Ella Pruta. Rebbe said the Bach erases this word Ella Pruta. Pruta shehukra v'huzla v'chazra. Actually, he has it. Pruta shehuzla v'chazra v'hukra. Rather, Rabbi said the case ultimately is it was a pruta, then it depreciated, then it appreciated. Ika benayhu. Man da'amar. Rashi says shehuzla b'shas aveda shavar pruta u'b'shas mitzia huzla. So what happens? So it was a pruta, then it depreciated, then appreciated. So the Gemara says, watch this. Manda Marasher Tova, last line, last line. Manda Marasher Tova, Ika. So we'll say, if you go, Manda who says that you do the evaluation at the time the pruta was, at the time the object was lost. At the time it was lost, it was worth a pruta. However, Manda Matzasa, Ba'inan de Ispe Shir Mitzia, Mishas Aveda Vashas Mitzia. Oh, Rava posits, Rabbi say, that the one who darshits Umatsasa, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Umatsasa doesn't just mean that the object has to be worth a Shavar Pruta at the time that you found it. Rather, what has to be the halacha? It has to have been worth a Shavar Pruta the entire time. What's the entire time? From the time you lost it until the time that you found it. And if it depreciated at any point in time in that process, the time that it was lost and the time that it was found, Rabbi Yehuda would paskin ultimately again that there is no obligation of Shavar Pruta. So we'll say, we paskin that halacha lemaisa, as long as the object was worth a pruta at the time it was found, there is a mitzvah of hashavas aveda. Because again, otherwise it's too complicated to try to figure out what was worth what when. The mitzvah of hashavas aveda, the obligation is generated at the time of the finding of the object. If when you find it, it's a shavah pruta, then lamais again, you are obligated to be machriz and to return it. Weiter. Iboilu. Simonim d'oreis d'rabanan. And I will say, now here's what's fascinating. You know how sometimes you have a whole discussion about something, and like you really feel like you have a handle on it, and then the Gemara says, oh, by the way, I have to now ask you a very fundamental question. So this whole time in Elam, it's Yisrael Simonim. So now the Gemara is going to ask, by the way, how exactly is it that Simonim work? Or specifically, is the concept that I can identify a simon in an object, and therefore get it back from the person who gave it to me. Is that a din d'oraisa, a biblical law, or is that a din d'rabanan? So that's the Gemara asks. Kiboilu, simonim d'oraisa d'rabanan. Are simonim again d'oraisa d'rabanan? Meaning, both sides. Meaning, what that means is, do simonim work on a biblical level? Everybody agrees simonim work. I lose an object, Reuven finds it, I say, Reuven, my initials are on the left corner, Reuven says, fine, he gives it back to Mishkech. Everybody agrees it works. Does it work biblically, or does it work rabbinically? So Gemara says, my nafkamina, excuse me, who cares? I mean, what does that really matter or not? Amud Beis. Oh, I'll tell you why it matters. La dure get isha b'simonim. Rabbi say, you know why it matters? It matters, lemaisa, again, to go ahead, Rabbi say, let's say a shaliach was bringing a get. Shaliach was bringing a get. And what happens? He lost the get. And what happened? Now someone else found it. And the shaliach wants to identify the get through some type of siman. Through some type of siman. So says the Gemara, so if you say, Nabosana, here's the interesting question. Remember, if you go ahead and you return that get to the shaliach, and then what? And that shaliach then delivers that get to the isha, that means that you are relying on the shaliach's simin to go ahead and allow a woman to get divorced, and by extension, one day get married. Which means that what they're both saying, you are assuming that what? That simanim are daraisa. Therefore, vi'i amrit drabanan. If you want to say that simanim are only drabanan, ki ava drabanan takante b'mamona, perhaps the rabbis only allowed you to rely on simanim when? With mamon. Now, both saying, now, why would drabanan allow you to allow, if simanim are drabanan, why would drabanan allow you to go ahead and rely on simanim by mamon? Why, both say? Because remember, who controls the money? Obviously the Jews, as we said before, but who within the Jews controls the money? Of course, the Rabbanim, right? So remember again, there's a concept of Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. So Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker means that Beis Din controls all monetary things. So I might, so if Simonim are the Rabbanim, I would say, when does Simonim work? Within Yarei Mammon. Simonim work ultimately, again, with money, because Lemaisa, again, Lemaisa, Beis Din controls money. When it comes to matter of Isser, so perhaps Simanim don't work. So therefore, Tashma, Afa Simla, Haisa Bechlal, Kol Eilu. So remember, what did the Mishnah say? Simla was included in Kol Avedas Achicha. So why is Simla mentioned specifically? La Hakish Eleha, to teach me a Hakish. Velomar Lachan, to tell me the following. Just like Simla is unique, that it has Simanim, and it has an owner who's going to claim it. Chayv lahachris, therefore you're obligated to announce it. Av kol dover sheyesh lo Simanim v'yesh lo tovin, chayv lahachris. So Shabbos will say, any object that has a Simon and has an owner who would claim it, you are chayiv to go ahead and be machris. And Shabbos say, what do you see from here? You see from here that we're learning out the concept of Simanim from Simla. Simla is a word in the Pasuk. The Pasuk is in the Torah, and therefore teaches us that what? That Simanim are daraisa. So Dush the Gemara says, well, not necessarily. Tana tovin it tzrichale, Simanim kedei nasba. It could be that Tana really wanted to teach us that the Iker is that the only time you chayev to be machriz in Aveda is when it's the type of an Aveda that you know that somebody will come after. And therefore the Mishnah is just kind of teaching us about Simanim kedei nasba. I'll say kedei nasba means in passing, but doesn't necessarily intend to teach us any real din about Simanim. So Tashma, chamor b'simanim, so we'll say, yet we learned the Brisa said what? That you could identify a chamor with the simanim on its ukaf. So we'll say, what do you see from there? You see that simanim, in fact, work. And not only that, but I will say, this teaches you, I don't even need a simon in the guf of the item. Eima be'ede ukaf. Maybe what it means is that you have witnesses that know that the saddle is yours, and once the witnesses attest that the saddle is yours, we assume that the donkey upon which the saddle is situated, right, is also again belongs to the same owner. To which the Gemara says, Tashma, Bahaya Imcha Adra Shachicha Oso. The Torah says you have to keep the lost item until your brother comes to claim it. What does Moshe have to say that? Is there a Havamina that I'm going to return the object before my brother asks for it? Ella darshehu. Rather, what it means about say is that when someone shows up and says, hey, that's my object, I don't just give it to him. Rather, darshehu. I ask him a series of questions. Im ramayhu, o eno ramay. I have to see, is he lying or not? So in other words, I want to be a trusting individual, but just because someone shows up and says, hey, that's my object, I don't have to just give it back. I have to ask probing questions. I mean, not too probing, but you know, probing questions. Oh, I should say, probing questions about the object. Right? I have to go ahead and ask questions about the object and to see if he's a rabbi. My lab is simanim. Are we not saying that I ask him about? Give me a simon, and from here you see that simanim are daraisa. Lo be'edim. Maybe not. Maybe it means that I tell him produce edim who can testify to the fact that this object is yours. Tashma. Ain me eden el al pirts of aponim im achuta. What's that? That's a fascinating halacha. Look at Rashi. Ain me eden al adam shemes lahasias ishto el imkein ro pirts of ponov shem achotem. So the halacha is that if a man died and we want to go ahead and allow his wife to remarry, so let's say you have testimony, somebody saw the body. This is talking about a case where a person died at a different location. So they want to give testimony that they saw the person had died. So how much do you have to see of the body in order to be able to make a positive ID? So the Mishnah Braisa says, "In the Eden Ela al Pirtzaf Apanim Imachotem." You can only testify if you see the face with the nose. So you have to see enough of the face together with the nose. Afapi Shiyesh Simanim Begufo Ubekelov. This is true even if the body has other identifying marks, or even if the person's utensils, which are on his person together with him, have identifying marks. What do you see from here? Simanim Lav Doraisa. Rabosai, the fact that I have to see the face together with the nose, and it's not enough to identify the body by some other identifying mark on the body, tells you that what? That Simanim are not Doraisa. Omri, Sigmar says, well, maybe not. Omri, Gufo Ark, as I will say, remember again, the face itself is not a simon, right? Remember, when you see the face with the nose, that's a positive ID. What the Gemara is saying over is you can't rely on other simonim. The guy has a birthmark. You can't rely on that simon. It has to be a positive ID of the face together with the nose. So you see from the simonim, when we say we see from the simonim, it means that unless there's a positive ID, I can't allow the wife to remarry, which tells me that just through a simon, through some type of birthmark, that would not be a positive ID, which would allow his wife to remarry. You see from here that what? Simon not oraisa. To which the Gemara says, no. When they say that you can't identify the body through a simon, what they mean is, Amri, gufal da'arech v'gutz. So it's like, the issue over here is, if somebody says, oh yeah, I recognize that that's Reuven because he was short, and the corpse is short, or he was tall and the corpse is tall, that's obviously not a good simon. That's not enough of an individual simon. The Caleb, so what about the utensils? Why can't you identify someone by their utensils? In other words, let's say again, they find the body and it has a wallet, and I recognize that as Reuven's wallet, or as his money bag, or as anything else. Because I'm concerned that what? People lend out their stuff all of the time. So people lend out their stuff just because I find this utensil on the body of this person is not what? Is not a positive idea that it's Reuven. Techashin Sheila. Either Chashin Sheila, Chamar Bisimune Okov, Heichi Majinon. So I will say, one second. If I'm Choshish, that's what? That people lend out their stuff, so I don't understand. Reuven lost his donkey. I find the donkey. He shows up. He can't give me a simon on the donkey, but what does he give me? He gives me a simon on the saddle. So how do I know that means it's his donkey? Maybe what? Maybe he lent the saddle to someone else, and it's someone else's donkey. To which everyone knows, Okaf lo shi uli inshi. People don't lend saddles. We know this. People don't lend saddles. Why? For a very good reason. Okfa mishum demiskav leilechamra. Because the boss say, saddles, what ends up happening is the leather takes the shape, ultimately, of the animal. So you can't just like swap saddles. So to go ahead and take a saddle from an animal, put on another animal, is going to scratch the animal. It's going to leave abrasions on the animal. For again, ibayisim, the other possibility is, kelov b'chiyuri v'sumki. The other possibility is that when the Braisa says that you can't identify a person through simanim of his kelim, it means if you say, oh, you know what, it's a white kli or it's a red kli. In other words, I'm identifying the simon by color. So that by itself, of course, is not a valid simon. Elo hodisanyo. But we'll say, what about the following? Matzo kosher bekis oba arneki uba tabas. So I say this is back to the get case. I'm a shaliach for a get. I'm delivering a get from Reuven to his wife. And what happens? I lose it. But then I found it matzo kosher bekis. I find it tied in my money bag. Or oba arneki, or in my wallet. Uba tabas, or I find it tied to my signet ring. Osha matzo ben kalif, or I find it amongst my utensils. Afilu lizman meruba, even if I only find the get a long time later, kosher. The get is still kosher, I could deliver it. V'isakad, I talk hashirin l'sheila. But I'll say one second. If we're choshesh, that people lend out their items, ki matzo kosher bekis on my kosher. If I find the get tied in my money bag, who's to say that what? That means that it's giving me, it's possible that what? I lent my money back to someone. So maybe just, so again, who says that it's the same get? Remember, we'll say, if you lend your kelim to people, and then I was also deliver a get, I lost the get, then I find the get. The get happens to say Reuven and Rachel, which was the get I was supposed to deliver. But people lend out the utensils all of the time. So now when I find my money bag again, who says that that get tied to the money bag is the same get I lost? Maybe it's a separate get. To which the Gemara says, no. Omri, the rice is very specific with the items it mentioned. Kis va'arneki v'tabas lo mishali inshi. I must say, people do not lend out their kiss, their money bag, their wallet, and their signet ring. Why not? Kis va'arniki mishum demesamni. Rabbi said, listen to this. This is actually very interesting. So people don't lend out their money bag, Rashi says, and their wallet, demesamni. Menachashi va'omer simin la'odam shemashal kiso shemocha la'mazlo. Rabbi said, people don't lend their wallet out. Why? Because lending your wallet out is like giving your mazel to someone else. So apparently, Rabbi said, this must have been a pretty accepted practice, because otherwise it would be usher because of los sinachashun, because of divination. But apparently, again, it was known, people don't lend out their wallets, which is true. I mean, you don't hear really of people lending out their wallets. I mean, if you go downtown, people lend out their wallets all the time, but it's not willingly. But Lemaisa, again, apparently, people don't normally lend out these things. Therefore, again, Lemaisa, when I find the get tied to my wallet or to my money bag, therefore, I could assume that that is the get that I lost. Vitabas, people also don't lend out their signature. I'm going to say first white line, Chavzaimam Beis, why? Mishum de Mizayif. Because also remember again, the signet ring was a very important yisod. Why? Because my signet ring, that's how I do someone else. Lemaisa, again, I would not go ahead. That's not something that I would normally go ahead and lend out. So therefore, if I find the get tied to these items, I can be sure that was the get that I lost. So it could be that remember, we're still in the midst of our major question, which is simon and d'oraisa or d'rabbanon. That's our fundamental question. Is it simon d'oraisa or d'rabbanon? So now Gemara says, maybe it's a machlokis tanoi. What's the machlokis? Limit ketanoi. Ein me'idin ala shuma. Supposed to listen to this. You can't give testimony. Shuma's a wart. So let's say, again, this is the same case as we saw before. Rashi says over here, Rashi says, Ein me'idin ala shuma, ha me'idin ala isha la hasiya va'amru simin ha'yabo shuma ba'ever ploni. So also listen to this, that a man supposedly died overseas. We want to allow his wife to remarry. And the testimony that comes is, the wife says he had a wart on his arm, and they found the wart on his arm. So the Braisa says over here that you can't give test, that's not proper testimony to ascertain the fact that he really died. And Elazar ben Ma'avai says, no, you can even give testimony that a person died based on the presence of a wart. My love, Bahakamifikis, what are they arguing about? The Tanakama suffers Simon and Dirabanon. Tanakama says Simon are only Dirabanon. Therefore, I will say because they're Dirabanon, you can't allow a woman to remarry on the basis of the simon on the husband's body. But Elazar ben Ma'avai suffers Simon and Doraisa. Elazar ben Ma'avai, on the other hand, says that no, Simonin are Doraisa. And therefore, again, the presence of the wart is enough to ascertain that this husband is the guy who died and allow his wife to remarry. Amar Rava, no, Duchuli Alma Simon and Doraisa. Everyone agrees that simonim are d'oraisa. I will say that literally we learn out the concept that simonim are effective d'oraisa, and therefore that allows us to use simonim even in d'oraisa dika cases. V'hacha mishuma mitzui b'megilah k'mevigya. I will say it's a fascinating machlokas. Here the machlokas I will say is, do we assume that things like warts are unique, or do we assume that they're mitzui b'megilah? We'll say that perhaps people born under the same mazel, right? People born under the same zodiac sign, or people of the same age, perhaps, again, they have the same type of, what's the right word?
Proclivity.
Yeah, bodily proclivities. Okay, good, fine. Physical proclivities. Right? Maybe they have the same predisposition for these types of bodily simonim. So the Gemara says, Marsa var shuma mitzui b'megilo. So one opinion says that it's possible this type of wart is found among people of this same age, born at the same time. Umarsa var shuma ima mitzui b'megilo. And others say, no, the shuma, right, this type of bodily simonim, are not commonly found with people born of the same mazel or of the same time. See, by same, the other possibility is, d'chol yama shuma ima mitzui b'megilo. It could be that everyone agrees that what? No, we don't assume, Abosai, that people of the same age, born of the same mazel, have the same bodily signs. Oh, Abosai, here, there is actually a more fundamental machlokes. Do we assume that bodily simonim change after death? Abosai, there's no question that when a person dies, a person looks different. The Torah upon him, a person looks physically different after death. The shaila is, and we know again, there are certainly certain things that change physically after a person passes away. So do we assume that simanim that were on the body change after death as well? So the Gemara says, one opinion says that no, simanim do change even after death. And the other opinion says, no, siman and doj. They're both saying that's from the machlokis, because that could be even if the wife gives us a siman on her husband's body, that's fine, but that was the siman when he was alive. Who's to say again that that siman that they're looking at now looks the same? The other possibility is everyone agrees that a shuma, the wart, doesn't change its appearance even after the death of a person. And siman are only derabanan. V'ha'cha b'shuma siman mufak kamif again. I'll say here the shaila is the following: everyone agrees that you need a siman mufak. You need a siman. I'll say that is an undeniable siman. So the shaila is a wart an undeniable siman? Marsa var shuma siman mufaku. So say one opinion says that a shuma, a wart, is a siman mufak. Umar savar shuma lav siman mufaku. And the other opinion says no, the shuma is not a siman mufak. Amarava. So listen to this. Rava says, I don't understand. If you hold that simanim, let's go back to basics over here. If you hold that simanim do not work daraisa, that simanim are not biblically significant, then hechi mahadrinan avidita b'simanim. Now, both say, let's go back to a very fundamental yisod, which is everyone is in agreement that if I lost an object, Reuven finds it, I go to Reuven, I give him a simanim, then what happens? He gives it back to me. I don't understand. If you hold that simanim are not doraisa, then how are you permitted to go ahead and return an object when I give a simin? To which the Gemara says, no, that's different. It's in the best interest of Osai, of the person who found the aveda, to return the object back with a simin. Why? Because if when Reuven finds it, it's in Reuven's best interest to return it to me when I give him a simon. Why? Because this way, one day when Reuven loses something, he'll also be able to get it back with him. So you have this concept. The Gemara, we saw some ksuvis. The Gemara says that you should be a Baal Chesed. Why should you be a Baal Chesed? Because this way, you need Chesed, other people will help you, right? The Yikbere, Yikberune. If you help to bury people, when you leave this world, people will bury you. The Sapte, Yispedune. If you eulogize, you will be. So again, so Rava says over here, the finder has a vested interest in returning the object with the simon, because if one day he loses the object, he'll be able to go ahead and get his object back with the simon as well. To which the Gemara says, but one second, I'm leader of Safra. Vichy Adam osa tovali atzmo b'mamun she'inu shalo. That doesn't make any sense. So therefore, Reuven is going to go ahead and give back to me my object with a simon. So he's doing himself a favor. He's going to give me back the object once I give him a simon, in order that one day when he loses an object, the person who finds it will give it back to him. So essentially, he's going to do a tova for himself with my mamun. Does that make any sense? To which the Gemara says, Elo, Nechale Labala Veda. No. So we have to switch it around. It's in the best interest of both sides of the owner of the object to get the object back with the simon. Lameyav Simana Lemishkale. Why? Meida Yada the Eidon Lesley. Because also when I lose an object, you see, we'll say for most things, I don't have Eidos that something belongs to me. I don't have Eidim who could testify on my behalf that I own a particular object. Umeimar Amar Kule Amalo Yadi Simana Mufakim Diday. And I'll say, you know what? What do I have going for me? What I'm going to say is, no one knows the simanim of my object, simanim of hakim, like I know. So on one hand, the problem I have when I lose an object is, I don't have edus. But what I have going for me is, I know the simanim of my object. And what else is going for me? Pretty much, I know that no one else knows the simanim of my object, except for me. Va'ani yehivna simanim of hakim, dida. And I will go ahead and what? I'll give the simanim mufakim of my object, and I'll be able to take it. And those are both saying, essentially what the Gemara is saying over here is, the fact that a person can get back his lost object through simanim is a tova, ultimately, again, for the owner of the object. Because if when I lost something, in order for me to get it back, I'd have to furnish eidos. Most of us don't have eidos on the things, or I should say differently, we do have eidos, but often who are those eidim? My family, my krovim, who are posel le'eidos le'gabe mi. So I don't really have eidos. So therefore, again, it's in my best interest, the owner of the object's best interest, to allow for the use of simanim. We'll finish with this part. But we learned about it earlier in the Mishnah. Rishim Gamliel says, this is a previous Mishnah. We'll say, if I find three loan documents, and they all name the same borrower with three different lenders. So what's the halacha?
I give back the documents to the lova, to the borrower. Shlosha shelavu mina echad. If I find three loan documents, all with the same malva, the same lender, three different borrowers, yachsu le malva. I go ahead and I give it back to the malva. Now, in this case over here, I'm returning things bepashus even without a simon. That even without a simon. So nechali le lova la adur le malva. In a case like this, meaning we just got stated before that it's in the best interest of the owner of the document to have it returned to the owner of the again of the lova to have it returned to the malva. Of course not, because I will say if you don't give it back to the malva, then guess what? Right? Then guess what? The malva doesn't have the power to collect. Armrelay, to which the Gemara answers, that's not a good raya. Armrelay, hasam svaru. Rabosai, that's a case of svaru. Echad halove mishlosha yachsu lalove. Rabosai, why is it that if the same borrower is named in three documents that we give it back to the borrower, the gabi love shkigi, because Rabosai, just logically it makes sense that if what? If you find three documents all with the same borrower named, then what? Who dropped it? Who dropped it? The borrower. So shchichi. So the Gemara says, "Gabem abalo shchichi." Shma mina. Excuse me. I lost the place. Echad lo mishlosha yachzir lova. The gabem lo shchichi. Gabem abalo shchichi. Shma mina. Malven milove nafal. Shlosha shelavu meechad. Rabbi says, if you find three documents that name the same borrower, then what? Yachzir la malve. The gabem malve shchichi. Gabem lova lo shchichi. It makes sense that it came from the malve, not from the lova. So Rabbi says, we're going to stop over here for today, but understand we're leaving off in the midst of this machlokes. Very short vart on Hoshana Rabbah.